of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light.
God bless you.
Pour out your power and love
that we sing.
Amen and amen, amen. I want to see him. And good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 1, where we've been reading, and 1 Peter 1. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We really enjoyed our fishing trip, had a good time, and the Lord was really with us to take care of us and everything. And we got to watch Wednesday night live services here, because Brother Tyler kind of got bit by something, and we had to run him to the doctor there, but he was okay and all. But that made it where we wouldn't be fishing in the afternoon, so we'd already tried to make it where we could, you know, download it later. But that way we got to watch it live and really enjoyed the service, enjoyed what the brother had to say. And it was good for him being preaching on Revelation 4, you know, but we really enjoyed it. So, you know, hope you had a good time Wednesday night. It was a good service. Amen. Now, remember, the Lord willing, this next Sunday, Brother George Quinn will be with us here from Ireland. Just remember that. And also remember then on the 15th, which will be the next weekend, Brother Keith Reed will be here with us from Jamaica. So remember these announcements. Any other announcements that I'm missing? I generally do. Amen. So just remember these. Amen. So let's just pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day and the time. Thank you for you, Lord. And we pray that you would just bless us with your understanding, because that's what we need this day. We need for you to come and truly open our eyes that we may be able to see. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thine understanding and just keep us, Lord. Bless, Lord, each and every one. Bless those that are not here, off traveling and things, Dick and Gail and them all. Lord, just remember them and be with them. Maybe they're watching this morning by services and all. We just ask you to help each one. We love you and we thank you. And we commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time to understand, right? All right, 1 Peter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace coming to searching time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, now see, it was revealed to them that it wasn't to them, all right? Unto whom it was revealed that unto the did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It was desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you when at the of Jesus. Did the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word? Now, I know we have the thing to do, but are we pulling in and out something? Yep. I chose today to run off the copies for you, and I will, the Lord willing, this afternoon. Because I've been thinking a lot on this, trying to get up to a place to speak what the Lord willing, if we get there this afternoon, we will be trying to speak upon it. And, you know, then that way the Lord is good to us and he opened more of a better way. One day there while Brother Donnie and I were talking and fellowshipping and during the time being there, maybe a way of presenting something that I've had on my heart that I wanted to bring to you. But basically what I want to do this morning, I want to give you these where you can go home, and if you'll follow it and just go down the line, 1, 2, 3, 4, then you will, you know, the numbers on your quotes I'm giving you, you will, I hope, get an understanding. These quotes have been given unto you. The last service I preached a lot about this, but I want to make sure you understand this. Because what I have upon my heart would be no need of trying to progress further if you don't understand up to the point of what we've been trying to bring about the book of Revelation. So, you know, just bear with me and everything. Paul said it didn't bother him to say things twice, so I guess it don't bother me to say them about 8,432, because that's probably about how many times I've said this and, you know, and been talking. But I want to get it to a place that we can see, so I just ask the question. You know, Brother Branham said chapter 5 of Revelation was a preparing for the opening of the seven seals. All right, then I'm asking the question this morning, basically, are we prepared to understand? Are we prepared? Now, you know, it wasn't no haphazard thing that John was taken to Patmos. I saw that while Brother Siriano, when I really enjoyed him, his message. But I was following his message along there Wednesday night, and I saw something that, you know, I thought, well, I need to express that a little. You know, it wasn't no haphazard thing that John was the one picked to go to Patmos. Even if you take the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, the combat beast and the things that Brother Branham would refer to. And he would say, you know, like Matthew was the lion, Mark the ox, you know, Luke the man, and John the eagle. And he was more into the prophetic form, and he was chosen. Now, so there had to be certain qualifications. Why did not God wait until Paul came on the scene, even, to bring about the book of Revelations? That could have easily been done. But it was for the point that it had to be a specific person. All right? Now, that, you know, that went to Patmos. All right? The specific purpose or person who went there. And then to see that there must be, as we covered in one service there, or spoke a few times about it, it takes a special people to understand this book of Revelations. Brother Brown said it couldn't be done in Luther's age, Wesley's age, or the Pentecostal age. It could only be understood in this age. So it would have to be a special people who would be prepared to, you know, to do. And I'm not throwing no stones or making lighter jokes. I'm just saying it. Some Trinitarian, wouldn't it have been something to send a Trinitarian believer to Patmos to write the book of Revelations? Now, we know that wouldn't have been done, you know, I mean, but I'm just making a point by that, to dig into your mind a little so that you'll think on it. It had to be a specific person who had an understanding, all right? And see, then you and I must have the understanding. See, we're the people then. There's not another people to come. All right? We've never said, you know, time's over with or anything like that. You know, we've tried to make it as right as we can. But I believe we're the end time people. I believe we're the people that it says it's time to understand. All right? And then in doing that, I want us to make sure that we get the right foundation. Because wouldn't it be something to take somebody that would say, you know, that have a degree in electronics and say, well, we're going to have a good speaker this afternoon. Said, we've got a choice of having a person who has a degree in electronics, or you can have your choice of whether you want him to speak or Einstein. Now, what kind of a choice would it be? You know, all right? And see, that was what God was doing. He had all of the apostles and things that he could have taken. Peter was a great one. He opened the doors to the kingdom. See, all of those were, but John was special. And even in his life, he was special. He was the young one that leaned upon the bosom of the Lord. You know, he was the young one that was always close with him. And it was always when, like, a healing would take place, John would always be there. See, because he was special. All right? Now, then I believe, you know, you and I are a special people. I don't mean just Lula, Georgia. I'm not talking junk. I'm talking to the world, if they'll listen to it, of whatever's out there, you know, that can. And I do know for sure that this message is going to a lot of foreign countries. It's not like Brother Lincoln Bonner said one time, they had a little radio station up there, and said he'd probably reach out about 20 miles, you know. And so this preacher gets on the radio, and he says, hello, world. You know, it only go out 20 miles, but we do know this goes out a whole lot further than 20 miles. But ever who's supposed to hear will hear and receive, and, you know, and I appreciate these brothers for doing all of that, to getting it ready. But now, we spent a lot of time reading and talking of chapter 4, and then we went in and started in chapter 5, and we spent a lot of time up to verse 7. Now this afternoon we will pick up, the Lord willing, on verse 8, and we will try to continue, you know, our thought. But I want to make sure you understand. As I said, the prophet said this was a preparation for the opening of the seven seals. All right. Now, he said we must get the preparation correct. Okay. What do you mean, Brother Dale? The seals broke a long time ago. Yeah. That's what people say. Well. But how they broke to you and I. The seals is a revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. We'll get on that this afternoon. All right? So then, has Christ been revealed to you? Or is your Christ Brother Branham? You know, there's a brother or man sends me books every once in a while, and he's named his children Christ Brother Christ Branham, so-and-so, you know. And that's what he believes. He you know, they're deities and things, and we certainly don't believe that. But we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ did use a man to bring us the message. I mean, that's what we believe. That's all we try to bring. If you was a Presbyterian, you'd want to go after whoever you wanted or whatever, or a Methodist, Baptist, or Lutheran. But now think of it. Now, we've talked a lot about that no man was worthy to take the book. All right? So then it's not a... The lamb wasn't an animal. You know, it couldn't take the book. All right? And we'll get back to it after a while of this, what this lamb looks like. But the main thing I want us to take is, Brother Anderson, go ahead and pull up Revelation 5. And I want us to just think a little bit. You say, well, we've been over this and over this. Well, good. If you want to get up and go home, you're welcome. I'll go over it again. Whether you're here or whether you're not, we're going to go over it again. Okay? That's just the best way of saying it. You know, you got the choice. You got your keys in your pocket. Not trying to run nobody off. Just be blunt and just plain about it. But look what it says. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, do you really understand? These are symbolics. You know, a throne. You're not looking at a throne. The throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that's living in your heart. All right? I hope that's caught on. All right? And we know the right hand is the power and authority of Almighty God. Not one sitting on the right hand. You know, it's power and authority. And then we got down and spent quite a time dealing with this book that was in the hand of the one on the throne. And it's not a Scofield or a Thompson chain or anything. It's not a book like we talk about, because back then they didn't have books. When it was translated into the King James, it was brought over because they were beginning to pick up words and things and using the word book. All right, but it was originally, we went through that it was the scrolls that were written. All right. But yet we went through too, seeing that this book in the hand of the one on the throne was the book that was actually placed before Adam. And, you know, but yet because of the fall, then the book went back to the hand of the original owner. And Brother Branham said, we see him on the throne with that book, and he's the holder of the book of life. All right? Now, you can pull these up, Brother Joe, and we'll just scan through them in a hurry, but go ahead with number one. We'll drop back to this in a minute. But holding it to the point, Brother Branham said, who is this? Who is this and what's going on? You know. So we see, we know it was God sitting on the throne. All right. Then we see that the book, he's the absolutely original holder of the book of life. He holds it. God does it. When Adam forfeited it, it went back to its original owner. It belongs to him. And John is in the vision here and sees it. All right. Now, what kind of a book is it? We said it's not something like that we even would cover it as a scroll. It's the book of life. All right? The book of life. All right? And then we went through covering these things to be able to see it. That this book, go ahead to number two, when Christ is identified the same, he's talking about it, that he cannot come until the last one that has the name of the book of life that was put there before the foundation of the world. When that name is called, that's the last one then. He came to redeem, to bring back. Redeem is to bring back. And when he brings the last one in, he is sitting at the right hand of God tonight, doing his mediatorial work. Now notice, this is 64 after the seals broke. See? He's talking of him sitting on the throne, doing his mediatorial work. When the last soul is saved, and that was redeemed and seen and known by God before the foundation of the world, when that last soul is saved, that closes the book. Then the Lamb comes out, takes the book out of that right hand of him that sits upon the throne. See? And then he's coming to earth. He's coming to make it known. All right, now we spent a little time emphasizing that this book. See, that was 1964. You say, well, the prophet took the book. All this happened in 63. Well, why in 64 is he talking still of mediatorial? And why would he be saying, don't you say that I say redemption's over? Don't you say the Lamb has left the mercy seat? He said, I never said that. All right? So if he never said that, then he never said that. That's the best way of putting it, right? He didn't say it. See, we say, well, now we got this way, but he said. You know? So the emphasis is whether or not we believe what he said. Now, remember, I spent quite a time talking about that the book must be completed before it can be taken. All right? Now, until the last name, as we're reading here, would come into the book of life, and we know it was written before the foundation of the world, so we're not worried about it. But we're talking about when that name is revealed upon earth, our person comes upon earth, and salvation comes to that person, correct? Is what you're talking about, because it was written before the foundation of the world. All right? And being that doing, you're going to have to wait until all those names comes in and all are saved, then redemption's over. And that's what I kept asking you the question there one day. Do you believe redemption's over? Do you believe that in 1963 the Lamb left the mercy seat, as people are teaching? And that was the first doctrine that struck me when I came in the message in 67, was that redemption was over in 63 because the Lamb had left the mercy seat. Well, then none of us basically in the building would be saved today, right? So I think we don't believe that. All right? So I think we can just move over from that and let all of this fanaticism fall away and not worry about it. All right. Then we can go on over to quote number three first, Brother Joe, before you get to, Brother Anderson, before. We had a wonderful time last night. If you want to listen to that, Brother Joe's got it, and he can break it down, and put it onto a tape. We had a jubilee time. I thought that was going to be the hardest, boringest, aggravatingest questions and answers form we were going to ever have. Because we had it about, what is your name? And people brought what their name was, the meaning of their name. You know. And I didn't have to worry about it because, see, Wade just took care of it. Because I said, whatever he is, I'm two times that. I said, so I don't have to tell you what my name is. But I enjoyed hearing people talk about their names and things. It was really great. All right? And you say, well, was it boring to just hear people? No, it was great. It was good. But then we got down to the end, and I told them in the middle, I said, now I'm reserving my part until the end. So I want you to each one give your name and the meanings, etc. And then we went through that we all got a new name. We're Christians. We all got a, we got to going through then the numerical numbers or what you call it, chronological orders or numerical numbers and what your name means and your number you're born under, etc. And I told them a little key there. I said, Brother Branham told a brother one time, said, you was born under a four and said, but your new birth put you under a two and said you're going to fight your nature all of your life. Well, the new birth puts us all under one number and under one name and under one zodiac. And it's not just Aries. The Lamb is. We're all under that by the new birth. Huh? Then we have to fight. Sure, your zodiac form controls these things out here, your body. We're controlled by the, I was watching it down there, how the tide would go out and come in. And, just watch those things. It's beautiful. But we really had a great time when we finished. So if you'd like to listen to it, I might encourage you to come. All right, but number three. What kind of a book is this? To begin with, there is no basis for the claims. This is a Sardinian church age, 267. And I've given you these quotes, so if you want to read them off of that or read them up here. Claims that the Lamb's Book of Life is not the same as the Book of Life. The Book of Life might be called the Lamb's Book of Life or Christ's Book of Life. And even thy book or Book of the Living only names are written in it. Revelation 13:8, all that dwell upon the earth worship him, the beast, whose names are not written in the Lamb, in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right? Now, if you look on the back of your last notes that was given, you'll see, drop back now, brother, to 2A. And just remember, this is only a book of names. The one in the hand of the one on the throne, if you look back, flop on the back of it, you'll find this quotation. There are only names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not anything about your life. There's not anything in the Lamb's Book of Life. The one that God had in his hand back there that went back from Adam was the book of names. All right? And there was no records because we hadn't come down and made a record yet. You know? All right? It wasn't a records made. It was a book of names. All right? But then when it come to earth, you begin what would be known as writing of the Bible. And it would bring it down to listen to what he's saying. This is Works as Faith Express, paragraph 119. It's like life's not speaking. When you get the book, you're going to be a little confused. You're talking about the church age book. All right, listen. But one of them is your natural birth. Is what I said, the two books of life. It's the same book. But one of them is your natural birth. The other one is your spiritual birth. One leads out to the other one. All right? Now, you got a couple of quotes up above there that will go with that in your reading off your notes. That the Bible is two books. It's the book of life. But it's divided into two books. Part of the Bible is the record of your natural life. And the living on earth and records and things are kept, genealogies and things. But the other part of that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is where your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? See, then now we can read both of the parts of the book or sections or whatever you want to call it. See? We can read it here. We can read about a Peter and a Paul and a James and a John and a, you know, a Malachi 4 and a Luke 17:30s and all of that. And then now we've gotten to the point, I hope, by the study of the book of Revelation, we can see that our names are written there. And it's not, as Brother Branham said, it's not Armand Neville said, it's what's going on while he's alive said that puts his name in the book. All right. So then we have the right setting. The book that was there is not a, it's not a Bible, which Brother Branham will call it the Bible. It's not two books, but yet he'll say there's two books or two parts of the same book. One of them is your eternal section. The other one is your natural life. All right? One leads out to the other one. All right? But see, then we must come to earth. And there would have to be a book started about our lives. You know, so it would start in Genesis and come down through and, you know, come down to our day and time. And when it would, then it would be a book. But before the Lamb can take the book, I want to keep rolling that in your mind. The book has got to be completed. Because now here's what everybody argues about. You know, it's been an argument in the message ever since I've been in it that the seals are, the seventh seal's broke. The other side says the seventh seal ain't broke. And some says, well, it's partially broke. You know. So they're trying to get an in-between, I guess. But they never talk about how the book got sealed. It's a sealed book. Brother Branham even said, we didn't know that. Do you need that quote? He said, we didn't know that. We didn't know it was a sealed book. But we always been able, what do you mean sealed up? Well, I've been able to read all my life. Ain't nothing sealed around my Bible, bless God. The Lord Jesus came into my heart and opened the book. Brother Brown said, when the seals come off the book, it become a brand new book. Does it come off to you? Well, yes, I can see this, and I can see that, and I can see it's okay for me to have four or five wives. That's what a lot of them say. You know? That don't fit the old book. Right? Surely don't come in the new book. The new book can't be something different from the old. All right? It's just more revealed. All right? But how did the book get sealed? We went through a message back there talking about how that when the children of Israel was going into captivity, they would take the property deeds, etc., what we would call now, the tracts of land that they had in the scriptures, and they'd put it in an earthly vessel, bury it in the ground. That's in Jeremiah then. And see, then bringing it over until those, all it was supposed to be was sealed in Jesus Christ. All right? But people don't even talk about a sealed book. They don't like that. Even the ones that says it's sealed, they say it's open to a degree. Or they say it's open, six seals is open, but the seventh is not open. You know, they've been arguing that ever since I've been in the message. But you don't hear anybody talking about how the book got sealed. The book. I hope you caught it in a message or two back. When I preached over and over that the book has got to be complete before it can be sealed. You don't seal a partial book. So whenever name that would ever be in the book of life, you know, the Lamb's book of life for the foundation of the world, when it's manifest on earth and comes into the plan of redemption, and if there's one today that's not in that plan of redemption, the book is not sealed. Come on. It's not sealed until the last name is brought in the book. It's sealed then. All right. When you get the new birth, you're sealed in the body of Christ. You agree? But as we were talking about last night a little bit about it, but then we're going to have the next one on like justification and things. But if you're not born again, you're not sealed in the body of Christ. And folks, that's our problem. We're still an open book until the new birth comes. That's our trouble. That's why we live on both sides of the pages. You know what I'm saying? But when the book is sealed, and only then can the Lamb take the book. He said, but Brother Dale, the Lamb took the book 2,000 years ago. Well, redemption was over 2,000 years ago. Now where you at? Well, no, the Lamb took a book in 63. Well, then redemption was over in 63. And that would leave us out. I'm not hateful. It's just time to rub out a little make-belief that's, or unbelief that's in us that we think we know. And thereby, we don't have to listen to nobody because we know. I asked a brother when he was fixing to leave here, I said, would you do me a favor? and yourself. I said, I'm going to preach something this afternoon that you don't know. Of course, it upset him. He said, you don't think I know it? I said, I know you don't. No problem. Would you please stay this afternoon and listen? I ask you to please come back this afternoon. Of course, some of you won't. So thereby you'll be showing you don't care. Okay. Forget all of that. Time to rub out unbelief. All right. Now, so the prophets are the one that said it. I didn't. Go to number four, Brother Anderson. We went number three, I guess. We went that one, but, you know, only names are in the book. Now, number four, what does the prophet say? This is taken from the fourth seal, 63:321. Now, we have noticed now that the breaking of the seal, it's the sealed book of redemption. And then the book is rolled up like a scroll, just like the old one. It was a book. It wasn't a book of this time. You know, and all like that. So that's doing it. But it's a seven seal book of redemption. Now, this book. You say, yeah, but we've been able to read all of these. We can read about these things, Brother Dale. The prophet of God in the seal book, after he preached six seals, he said, if God doesn't come, paraphrasing it now, and open this seventh seal, he said, we're only presuming. You need that quote? All right. So now think about it. The book is sealed. It's a sealed book. Go to number five. This is the breach. Paragraph 68. Do these things that please God, for the book is sealed now, and you are sealed. The Holy Spirit is the seal. Pull the next one. Number six. Taken from the breach, paragraph 75. Now notice, this book is sealed, and you are sealed with the book until the day of redemption. All right, you're sealed with the book. So then it's a simple matter of realizing that the book was sealed. We were allowed to read certain things, and the apostles were, and the great faith of the fathers was there, and they lived it and manifested it. But yet a great man that is in the faith of the fathers by the name of Paul, he said, without this end time people, am I paraphrasing it? We're not going to be made perfect. Without us, you cannot be made perfect. He went into the ground, and now he's depending on us. See? Why not wait until redemption's over to try to understand a lot of things? But you're sealed with a book. And remember the emphasis I kept making that you can't take the book until it's fully done. It's got to be written. Then you can take the book and reveal the seals. Well, I don't understand what in the world you're saying. It's right, because you don't have a background, and I'm sorry. 40 years I've tried. But you that are connecting on and you're hearing these, you're hearing things said that you say, what in the world is a man talking about? But for 40 years standing here declaring. That the seals is not to the bride of Jesus Christ. The physical things of them the revelation of the seals is to the bride. The seals are to Israel. You see, that takes a lot of thinking. But you see, folks, I've tried my best to express it to you. Look at number 7. What are we and what are we doing? Christ's mystery, God revealed. Paragraph 524. Now you see the seals. And this is after the seals is broke. Now you see the seals. When he was in his mediatorial work back there, redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed. And all that's in this book would be him. And all that's in that, excuse me, all that's in the book would be him. For that's the believer. The words in the book. And the word is him. And all that's in that, he come forth to this, for this book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation world, when he was slain as a lamb. I've tried to preach a point, and I don't want, I'm just going to say this and block it and go back to the message. You and I are that book that goes to Israel. Can't be a complete book without it, us. All right? Get to that this afternoon. You'll see the importance of this that I've tried to say to you. See, the book of names, or the Lamb's book of life, is the names of those who are to be redeemed. That was what was in the hand of the one on the throne, was the name of the people that would be redeemed. And only the bride is written there. The foolish virgins and things are not written in the Lamb's book of life section of eternal life. They are in the book of life, the sections that are not eternal, that you can have it, your name in the book, and then have it removed if you don't go on. Right? The Father holds that name, that book of names, in his right hand, sitting on the throne. The Father, because that's Almighty God. You say, no, it's the Son. It was the Lamb. It was this. This stated right. God sitting on the throne. And he's holding that name of books. Book of names. I can't get it backwards. Waiting until that last name appears on earth and comes to redemptive form. And until then, he's writing a book about you and I, called the Book of Life, the section of the Bible. The Bible is still being written. If you're thinking that your name is in the book and you're not born again today, then the book is not written and completed yet. Your name's not in there. See? You've got to wait until all the names are in before you can take the book. You'd be taking the book premature. See, then there's no way in the world you'd understand how that we are the actual Word. You and I are the actual Word. We are the, as Paul called, written epistle, read and known of all man. And those two witnesses will stand there and point back over here to where we are. And they'll, you know, not doing it to where we were. Let me get it where nobody won't misunderstand my wording. Point back to where we were, and they'll say, see, you missed your salvation. But those Gentiles received that salvation, and they've gone in a rapture. And you'll never have sonship. You'll be servants. Right. See, the Father sitting on the throne, because it's the Father's throne. Oh, that's a simple language, isn't it? The Father's throne's where the Father's sitting. All right. But in his emorphy, his form that is shown in the book, he is shown as a lamb. And I gave you a couple of them, and it's in the back of your notes. Where the prophet of God said he climbed up on the throne. He took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down. Just because he can't take the book until the last name appears. But then when he does, he climbs up on the throne and sits down, the prophet said. It's an amorphis of God, right? The forms of God being made known. All right. In doing that, then, who's sitting on the throne? According to Acts 7, I think it's 69, I wrote these and didn't read it. Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Paul, by revelation in Hebrews, speaks of how that when he ascended, he went to the right hand. The power and the authority, not the right hand. John, then on Patmos, sees in Revelation 5:1 him sitting on the throne with the book in his hand, getting prepared for the opening. All right. So then when you get to it, you see the elders and all as they gather around in chapter 5, and things are taking place. And when you do see those things, you remember that the proclamation went out. And the elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book, in other words, and loose the seals. John was looking for that Lion because he knew who that was. He knew what tribe Jesus came from, which was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Bible saying that a lawgiver would come from Judah. Remember, Judah was not mentioned in the Bible as to come like a Levite. He looked like that Jesus would have come from the tribe of Levi, don't it? Because that would have been the priesthood. But instead of that, he came from the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right. And as he did, John knew that. So he's turning to look. And when he does, he sees a lamb. Now, if that's all he would have seen, John would have been all right. Because he could have said, look, I remember when he was introduced on the River Jordan. Not as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but as the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. So he says, everything's okay. But he looks and he sees him. It's a funny looking lamb because he's got 7 horns and 7 eyes. See? So he needs help to be able to understand. All right. The lamb then can come forth. The lion and the lamb is the same God, but different forms and morphies. See? He will not be the lion until redemption is over. But when it is over, he will become the lion. He will remain as the lamb to Israel after redemption's over for us. But to us, he becomes the lion. I don't want to get that far. He becomes our husband. All right. The lion. But where did that lamb come from is what was bothering John. Surely, if he had 7 horns and 7 eyes, it would, in symbolics, as he was being there and understanding those things. He would know surely that that would have some connection to where this lamb would have been and what he had been doing. Now remember, it doesn't describe of Paul or Stephen when they saw Jesus standing at the right hand. It doesn't describe him as a lamb. They describe him as a person. Well, Stephen saw him. Paul spoke of him. But here John, he wonders about this lamb. And when he does, he says, where did this lamb come from? Because remember what happened. I remember he's introduced to the lamb. And I remember what took place. So what was this that took place that made this come to the right position? Going to number 8 now. On the Mighty Conqueror, 1958. Talk about a welcome home. The angels and the pearly gates open up, and Jesus right down through the streets of glory with the Old Testament saints behind him singing. Where was this? At his resurrection. Right? And ascension. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And he come up in the front of the Father's throne and said, Father, here they are. They were faithful over a few things. He said, get up here, son, and sit on the right hand until I make all thy foes thy footstools. There he stands tonight. Okay. But there's still no lamb. There's still no lamb with seven horns and seven eyes. But when he sees him in Revelation, he sees him as that. Where did he come from? Go ahead, number 9. I said, most of these you've had over and over and over. You ought to be able to quote them without even having it. This is taken from the breach. Now, where it came forth, where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne. Now, he's talking about the lamb, the whatever John's mentioned in heaven's looking. Where did he had been seated since he had been slain and raised up? He raised up and sat on the right hand of God, ever living to make intercessions. Amen. Raised there today as an intercessor with his own blood to make intercession upon the ignorance of the people. Now, and that's the one I'm depending on. He's still there covered with bleach. The bleach of the forgiveness of sins. All right. Where's he at? Father Strong. Go to the next one. So if this lamb come from anywhere, he come from the Father's throne. From the breach, paragraph 199. Notice, come from the Father's throne. Oh, think. Where did he advance from to this vision? He come from glory where he's seated at the right hand of God. He advanced forth out of glory. The lamb coming forth. Look at the next one. Now he ties Zechariah 4. In Zechariah 4, it's tying together about Zerubbabel and the seven eyes of the Lord. Now watch, Brother Brad. The seven eyes. This is the breach, paragraph 236. Eyes means seeing. Seeing means prophet. Seer. This lamb had seven horns, and on each horn had an eye. Seven eyes. What is it? Christ and his bride. Seven ages. Out of there were seven prophets that went forth, seven seers, eyes. So the last one must be a seer. What is it? Christ and his bride. You realize then, folks, that what I've preached for years to you of one thing. You can talk about the birth of the Word, and that's wonderful. You can talk about being impregnated with the Word, and that's great. We need that. But when are you going to ever get down to talking like Masterpiece and Seeds Not Air with a Shuck, when Brother Branham actually emphatically states, he said, Mary was not the seed. He said, she was a carrier. He said, because he was the seed. See, Mary gave birth to the seed. Azusa Street Pentecost gave birth to the Word, right? Christ is that real Word. You and I are going to have to be the Word. Not just talk about a birth. Where's the Lamb going to come from to be able to take the book? I didn't say it. Your prophet said that's the bride. But Brother Dale, are you saying we're going to be the one that takes the book? Now, I didn't say that. I ain't never taught that. If you thought I did, you missed it. The Lamb is the one that will take the book. But the Lamb must be produced by the bride of Jesus Christ. And to do that, she must become the Word. The bride must not only give birth to the Word, but must be able to bring forth a fully matured lamb. Stature of a perfect man. Whatever you want to talk about. So in our revelation, we must see him totally restored. Back to seeing him sitting on the throne with a book in his hand. And in doing that, seeing that he paid the price. The way he got to that throne. We read the quote. Climb here and sit down. You've paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price for our salvation. But see, we're in the end time. You and I must be the book that is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Why would we want to go to the garbage cans of thinking that we might be able to take a book ourselves? No, let's just become the book. It's not our job to be the Lamb. But we are so closely connected to the Lamb until the Lamb has the horns on him and has the eyes. And you can't separate him and her. You see by revelation, as Jesus Christ climbed up on your throne and sat down in your heart and become the one in your throne. See, it's our responsibility to give birth to the Lamb and bring it into maturity, to not be the Lamb. It's all in him. Page 45. I'll get it in a minute. Brother Son, Brother Ryan said, he is those seals. He is those seals. Not me and you, but where is he at? He's got to have a form to reveal himself through. Because he's in glory. We're not going to glory to see these things. But he's bringing it in a form called the bride. Well, I just can't believe that. Well, good, you're headed to the grave. But don't worry about it. We'll get you up. I've never preached nobody into hell or nowhere else. But I've always tried to tell the truth. I said it 30-something years ago. I said the biggest portion of people this message will die and go by the grave. I've said that probably 5,432 times ever since then. And maybe a few more. Because most people do not know what in the world is going on. They do not know the age and the time. All we know, Brother Dale, is Brother Brown was a prophet. I thought Brother Branham come to introduce the bride to Jesus Christ. See, we're not the lamb, folks. Get it out of your mind. But we must birth the lamb. Let the lamb immorphy through us and come to that place. Remember, the book cannot be taken until the book is completed. We saw then that the book is the believers. We are the believers that's in the book. And we are the book that's going to go to Israel. A living, revealed word is going to go to Israel one day. All right. You remember when we got into these? Go ahead to number 12. I may have jumped some. If I did, forgive me. You have the writings. Look what your prophet calls us. You say, but we cannot be this. We cannot do this that you're talking about to be the word that we would actually be. I'm not talking about just giving birth to the word. Azusa Street Pentecost gave birth to the word. Mary gave birth to the word. But your prophet owned the message I gave you. Masterpiece, seed not ever to shut. He said there's one more stage. One more thing got to take place. Somebody's got to be the word here. He said, well, Brother Branham was that. Now then, wonderful. I'm glad you thought of that. But remember, John was not the bride. Come on now, listen to my wording. He was a part of the bride of Jesus Christ, but he was not the full bride when he went up. Right? He only taught. Brother Brown said, what you see now, one day you will see it in its fullness. What? You mean the bride of Jesus Christ is going to have the same ministry that Brother Branham had? Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ around the world. Not no one person no more. Not no Lula, Georgia. But around the world. Bride of Jesus Christ will have the same ministry that Brother Branham had, which will be the same ministry the Lord Jesus Christ had. Brother Branham said, if not, then it won't welcome back. Come on. He can't come to it if it's not his same ministry. Come on, church, listen. So what did he say? You know, we just kind of pass it off. All God was, he poured into Christ, all Christ in the church. We just kind of pass that off as a good quote. Do we really believe it? Adoption, 1965, 22, paragraph 185. Well, then, all that God was, he poured into Jesus. For he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is that right? Is it right? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right. Is that right? And all that Jesus was, he poured into the church. These things that I do, shall you do all things? Even greater than this shall you do, where I go to the Father, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Go ahead to the next. This is paragraph 159, Christ the mystery of God revealed. Preached in 1963, 728. God expressed in Jesus, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The preeminent. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church, the believers. A big man in this message, he said, You say that, and you wear that, and he said, ooh, wee, yeah. Well, okay. He brought around and said it. You want to get mad at me? I found it. You know, you want to get upset with me because I found what the prophet said? Get upset with the prophet because he said it. Come on, get to the next one. Page 14, or paragraph, excuse me, number 14. Paragraph 130. Then it was God in them days, it was God in a man, his son Jesus Christ. We believe that? Now, if you don't believe the rest of it, you don't believe that. Can I stop and say that? You don't believe that if you don't believe the rest of it. Right? Not just a prophet, not just an ordinary man, ordinary human. It was God in Christ. God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man. God in a man. Now, it's God in men, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in his entire church, manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. Now, do you believe that? What about the lights one? I think it is. Maybe one more. Paragraph 17 of Lean Not to Thy Own Understanding. So you see, if you were in the foreknowledge of God, then you are becoming a part of God. And the only way you can be a son of God or daughter of part of God. That's talking about your new birth, right? And God isn't complete without you. Come on. That'll make you feel good.
Amen.
To be. That's right, because there is one. Only one resource of eternal life, that is God, and him alone has eternal life. Now, and you were part of him in so much that you are an attribute or in his thinking in the beginning. And that because he thought of you in the beginning, it gives that little tug towards him. That's what has to be quickened. Some of them will never be quickened. They just don't have it. That's all. God is not complete without you. But here's the key. This is the last one. God's only provided place of worship, 1965, 1128. Paragraph 264. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily. Leaven is our own ideas and thoughts. Right? So when we get rid of all of that, the fullness will be here. But he couldn't do it in the days. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Couldn't do it in Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, revealed, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst his people. See, everybody else says in Brother Branham, right? Showing the same visible signs, manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on earth in the form of a prophet God. Oh, glory, promised by Malachi 4. Promised by the rest of the scripture, where you worship at, the house of God seated in present tense. You see what he's talking about? Yes, but Brother Dale, we don't see the things that was going on with the prophet. You know. What about it? When Tyler got stung the other day, he was in bad shape. He was itching all over and everything. I just simply waited, not because of no things of Donnie and Bill not being in it, but I waited till I caught him in the bathroom coming out, and I said, Tyler, we need to pray. Reached down and took his hands. I'd say his temperature at that time was drastically over 103 or 4. He was burning hot, that I could feel it. We prayed. And then little bumps was coming up all along, like where his blood was running, especially all through here, and this little welts was coming up all over him. And we prayed. All found out and got, Bill knew where the doctor was. We went over. Tyler's sitting there. He said, Brother Donnie had to go back and get some paperwork and some stuff from, you know, his billfold, et cetera. And Tyler, he said, Brother Dale said, we'll just call Papa and we'll just walk down here to Publix and get some, you know, some Dramamine or, I mean, what it Benadryl. I said, because I'm doing fine. I said, no, let's don't do it. I believed he was healed. But I said, let's don't do it. Let's let the doctor. Well, we had a lot of fun about the doctor giving him shots and things, and you know. But you see, church, I believe that God is still alive. He's waiting on the bride of Jesus Christ to realize who she is. And the prophet said, what you're here for. If we're the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you say, well, I just can't see that. Well, then you're blinded. Come on, you're blinded. Plain language, you're blinded. The prophet said it. You know, there's a favorite quote of that, right? Prophet said it, and I believe it, and that's it. That's a favorite quote. I like it this way. The prophet said it, and I believe it, and I've seen it made manifest. Because I've seen a living God in the reality of a people. But to make sure you understand, there is no book to go to Israel. Tell me where it's coming from. Where's the book that's going to Israel? I want Scripture. Now, I know where I'm standing. I want Scripture. Where's the book that's going to Israel? If it's not the bride of Jesus Christ, show me some verse, paragraph, etc., whatever. And we're not going over there, like a man told me. He said, oh, them two prophets, this is years ago. He said, them two prophets said, that'll be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet. Of course, we knew that he was saying he was the Gentile prophet. And I told him, I said, Brother Branham said it would be two Jews because the Jews wouldn't have a Gentile. Now, don't go play games with me. Elijah, in his natural first estate, was a Gentile. In Brother Branham, it would have been a Gentile. But when he goes to Israel, your prophet said, they won't accept nothing but a Jew. So that Elijah's going to be a Jew. Of course, the brother didn't like it. But I was just telling him what I believed. Just like I try to tell you what I believe. I believe you and I have got to be the living Word. Not just talk about it, but be the living Word. Could God take your revelation and go to Israel with it? You see why Brother Branham couldn't go? Come on. He was on a plane. The video they got of him, they were setting up for him to go to Israel. Said, Brother Branham, with your ministry, them Jews will accept Jesus Christ. He was on the plane going there. Landed in, what, Cairo or something. And the Lord said, come on behind the hangar. I need to talk to you. He said, the iniquity of the Amorites is not full yet. And said, you can't go. But he said, I always thought I'd have something to do with Israel coming to Christ. And you know he will. Because it'll be his message that will go to Israel. And we're supposed to be that message. That man said, you don't think it'd be a Gentile prophet and a Gentile bride? I said, no, sir. No, sir. He didn't believe it. I wouldn't have cared if he said, well, we'll make you the prophet and we'll just get you a Gentile bride. I'd have said, it won't work. I got to be a Jew. You know? Because they won't accept nothing else. See, church, we got to be that book. Not just talk about it, not just read it. But we've got to become that. And then be a book to go to Israel. Brother Branham said I'd have made a horrible mistake. First seal. If God hadn't come and straightened me out on it. What do you think would have happened? Now, this is this evening's message. Well, what do you think would have happened in chapter 5 when they asked Brother Branham that question? And they said, is this the saints of God? And he said, no. This is not the redeemed. I'm reading him. He started on and he stops and he said, something's wrong. Brother Ned Iverson, from my understanding, was one that told him, said, read your question and your scripture over. He read it over and he said, I was wrong. He said, see, that's the bride. Now, why would he say, to start with, that was not the bride? Why would he say it was not the bride? He's a prophet. He's got to have a reason. Because of what he had taught, was he standing on it? Be church, it's time to wake up and start believing. If that wasn't the bride of what he's thought now, he thought it wasn't the bride because he said it. He said, this is not the bride. It's not the saints, he said. This is not the redeemed. Then who was he thinking it was? Mm-hmm. Hold that point. And that would have messed the Bible up entirely. See? Now, one more statement. He said, if we don't get this, Daniel 70 weeks, great. He said, we can't exactly place the book of Revelation. Stand. Come on, brother. You've got to have it prepared. He said, we've got to get it prepared. He said, then if we get it prepared, we can depend on God to come and open it. Because you know what he was doing? He was saying that. So he'd be trying to show Israel to Israel. It won't work. If he'd have showed Israel to Israel, it would have made them sonship. If he'd have showed Israel to Israel, it would have made them sonship. Because he's not trying to show Israel to me and you. He's trying to show us to ourselves, that we can be the sons and daughters. He would have made Israel back his sonship. I don't tell everything, just what I need to tell you. Because I have to wait. Go ahead. We got have a need. We got to go.
142 in the spiral book.
Think on these.
Oh, ye saints of light, proclaim the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Anybody else?
Jesus, Savior's earth. Don't get in a big hurry. Don't get in a big hurry. And believe in the word. Truly be one in you. And Father, we can only do that through Jesus Christ, living his life in each one of us. We love you and we thank you. Now make this manifest in Jesus' name. Anybody else? The light of the world. Going back to school. Our sister needs a prayer cloth for herself. She said, let's just pray for all of the kids going back to school. You know, that's a good point. Good point. We need to pray and remember them, right? Father, in Jesus' name, we give our sister this prayer cloth. And Father, we ask you to be with all the kids as they start back into school and their training and the mind and the things. Just help them. Be with them. In Jesus' name. The world. It's okay. Let's believe everything will be all right, okay? Hey, let's go ride that bull. All right? You and my buddy? Everything's going to be okay, right? Father, in Jesus' name, we believe you. Make all things right. When they get there, they'll see it all as well. In Jesus' name. What? Anybody else before we go? The new drop of mercy, our God, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light. You're dismissed. Just pray one for another. Father, bless the people on the way. Bless each one as we go eat a nice meal and bring us back together in you, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
walk in the light, a beautiful life. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light.